Well, we find ourselves in Bethlehem again, but it's no longer Christmas. For the weeks leading up to Christmas, we celebrated Advent as we lit the lights and celebrated hope and peace and joy and love, a season of anticipation. And for the last 12 days, we celebrated Christmas and the birth of Jesus that night so long ago. But today, Christmas is over. And yet here we are, still in Bethlehem. Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. In calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means last among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I can also pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they'd seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. Today is Epiphany. Today is the day we celebrate the arrival of these stargazers from the direction of the rising sun. Funny phrasing, I know. But actually, that's what the scripture says in the Greek. Wise ones from the direction of the rising sun. It gets spun these days. You know, kings from the east, different phrases like that. You see, our tradition has added much, much lore to what appears in our scriptures. Suddenly these magi, the word for the wise ones, they become wise men and then they become kings. And before you know it, they're riding camels and bringing gifts and it's all sorts of fun. And no number is actually given in the scriptures, we often assume there were three because they only brought three gifts. I mean, can you imagine the fourth guy? Can I sign your card? I mean, really, it was... So everybody sort of figures, you know, there were three because the three presents and that's more comfortable that way. And then, you know, actually come to think of it, the scripture in Matthew doesn't even say they really showed up at Christmas. I mean, really, when we look at our nativity set, we've got this beautiful thing with there's the shepherds and the angels and the baby, and we've adjusted a little bit today. We were discussing, well, the shepherds, they already went home, and, well, the cow, he's been getting a little close to Mary, so let's move him. And we start adjusting, and suddenly, we have two different stories going on at the same time in the nativity. The story of the wise men showing up, and the story of that we hear in Luke of the angels and the shepherds and the baby being born, and we just sort of put them all on one little space on the mantle at home or on the altar here at church, even though they're different stories. And as much as I'll acknowledge that, I'll be very honest, the magi and the camel, they're right in there with my nativity at home. Even though I like to have the pregnant Mary and only have the baby show up on Christmas, oh, I let the wise men sit there the whole time. I mean, like, really, they're sitting there before the baby's born. They're just sort of like, okay, come on. Let's go. But these are the stories, and we sort of merge them together in this way. Actually, I used to, the house we used to live in, there was a couple blocks away from us, someone who I'm certain is a bigger Bible nerd than I am. Because they had one of those glow, light-up plastic nativities in their yard, and they had it set up, and there was those, you know, lovely plastic Mary and plastic Joseph, and the wise men were always on the other side of the yard and slowly moved their way towards the nativity until Epiphany. It's nice to know there are bigger Bible nerds out there than me in this world. But for all the stories that get layered on top of the scripture that we have, at its core, this story of Epiphany is a story of people who are looking for something. who make a journey to find it, and who offer something when they arrive. Now, wherever they came from, these travelers certainly were searching for something, and to be honest, they were searching for it long before Jesus showed up. You know, there are a lot of ways we approach this day as pastors, as preachers. We look at the many ways to look at it. And, you know, we often will preach about the gifts being a metaphor for our own lives. You know, what will we offer Jesus this year? It's not a bad sermon. It's something we should think about. I love that song, In the Bleak Midwinter. You know, if I were a wise one, I would do my part. But what can I give him? Give him my heart. That's that angle, that perspective, that look. And I do believe we should consider what it means to offer what we have and what we do and who we are to and for Jesus in this world. You know, often we hear this epiphany story and we think of their journey, wherever it was from, as paralleling our own lives. You know, we're all on our own journey to meet Jesus. I've preached that sermon. It wasn't bad. It's that one thing we can look at and consider. I do believe the story of the Magi does invite us to consider our own faith journey. That we're in process, that we are moving towards something. That it's not something we just know, but it's something we begin to move toward. But you know, if you think about it, before they even began the journey, before they even loaded up the gifts, these Magi had to be searching the skies in the first place. Here were a group of people who spent the night looking into the vast, vast sky above us, staring at stars that can make us feel so small, wondering what more was out there in this world, and wondering if maybe something might be revealed to them. And you know, in order to see what they saw in the sky, and in order to decide to follow it, they had to be looking. I mean, the average person would not have noticed something new in the sky. I bet we could put a few new things in the sky right now and none of you would notice where they were. Bet you wouldn't. You know, or even a casual stargazer, you know, the person who generally can point out a few things. Oh yeah, that's such and such and that's such and such. And I mean, even they might notice, huh, I don't know what that one is. Is that new? Okay. And go about their day. No, to see and notice and then be moved to do something about it. What we find here in our story are people who not only notice, but have some sort of internal drive and longing to take what was easily a 2-year journey to find out what it meant. You don't make that kind of trip without some sort of internal drive. I mean, I will change my entire dinner menu to avoid going the 18 blocks to King Soopers if I found out I don't have all the ingredients I need for dinner. If we change the menu, we don't have to go out. However, if I'm making cookies and find out I don't have enough brown sugar, I would walk to King Soopers in a snowstorm to finish baking cookies. The difference here is the drive. I have a deep longing for cookies when I'm baking them, and so I'm going to do what it takes to make it happen. Now, this is all to say that there must have been something that these Magi were longing for. That they would say, you know what, I saw it, we could stay. No, we have to go. We have to. You see, that's what makes this day and the celebration of their arrival very meaningful for us as people. Now, let's be honest. They did not know what they would find at the end of their journey. I mean, if you heard it in the scripture, they even stop at the wrong place. Can you imagine that? 2-year journey, you arrive and you find out you're in the wrong place. Who was the navigator again? Because we need to have a conversation. They didn't know what to expect, but they knew they needed to find it. They made this massive trip for an unknown result. See, this story, the story of the Magi, is a story of gut feelings. Of a story of a longing for something. I don't know, but I know there's something. I'm missing something. I need something. I don't want us to overlook that deep longing as we do consider the journey to meet Jesus and the gifts that are offered. Those things are great examples of this day, and they're very concrete examples. We can talk easily about trips. We can talk easily about gifts. But longings of the heart are anything but concrete. In fact, I'm sort of taking a gamble here that you know what I mean when I talk about it. I can't describe that feeling to you. I can't define what it is to long for something. I can only reach into my own experience and hope that I'm not alone in feeling it. You know, that's sort of funny because it's often a longing of the heart is to feel that we're not alone and that others might truly understand us. That's one of the things we might long for. I wonder, what were the longings of the Magi? Maybe they were longing to understand things better. Maybe they really longed to connect to something bigger. Maybe they just longed to have a meaningful experience that would help shape their lives. Maybe they wanted to experience something that would make their lives significant so they just weren't, you know, some guy. Whatever it was, they took the time to honor. They had the strength to honor the longing that they carried in their heart. They honored it by keeping watch for opportunity. And then when they saw it, they followed the longing wherever it might lead. Now, in my preparations for today, I came across a quote by Orison Sweet Madsen. And I'd never seen this quote before. He says, "The Creator has not given you a longing to do that which you have no ability to do." God wouldn't put in our hearts the desire, the longing for things that we aren't capable of. What a promise. Isn't that something to consider? That we, whatever the journey might be, are able to make it. That we, whatever gifts will be needed when we arrive, we have them within us. And that longing isn't just some random thought, but perhaps the stirring of a God who is calling us to something more. That's really what we celebrate today, as we consider the Magi and their journey and the time they spent in Bethlehem. We are celebrating that God awaits us in places known only to our hearts. And whatever the journey, we will find ourselves with the opportunity to offer something if we will but follow where longing calls us. Amen.